Well, friends, first of all, I know I've stood here before, but officially just to thank you for having my wife and I here at this time, and for the opportunity given to me by those who organized the conference to come and to preach to you. I bring you the greetings of my congregation in the Isle of Skye, and I hope that one day that I will see some of you visiting us there, you would be made most welcome, and we cannot but thank you for the way that you have made us feel at home in this place. Now, those who have organized the conference have specifically asked me to bring gospel messages, to seek to bring an evangelistic address, two addresses at this time. And as I look around, I do so with a bit of fear and trepidation, as I see so many whom I have come to know in these past days and believe who are those of you here who are the Lord's people. And sometimes when we hear gospel messages or evangelistic addresses directly, sometimes as Christians maybe we think, well, this really is not for me. And maybe you'll be thinking, as I seek to bring the word of God to you, that those beside you or those behind you or those in front of you. Now, while I think that, of course, this applies more to some than others, in another way, I believe such a message should apply to each and every one of us every time. For I don't believe that there is a Christian here, whether it be a Christian of many years standing or a new Christian, who doesn't need to hear the gospel message, the clear, or if I can say, a simple gospel message, often in our ears. And I pray to God that as you listen this evening, as the Lord would help us, that we would seek to bring before you, I pray, what the Lord himself has laid on my heart to bring you at this time. And I would like to consider particularly just the thought that we have of we again together read at verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And I have given the title to this, Safety in Christ. Safety in Christ. I wonder if often, or have you ever thought about the power behind the voice of the Lord Jesus at this time? What power there must have been there, even in these words, follow me. Follow me. Those men who heard that, when they heard these words, there didn't seem to be, at this time with these men, there were others, of course, who made excuses. But they made no excuse whatsoever. For here they recognized something of the power of God in the voice that spoke to them and brought this message, this command to them. It was irresistible to the disciples. Now, it may be that in your own experience you have had a situation, or particularly when the Lord first began to work in your life, that while you may be under conviction of sin for a time, or you may have been going to some services for long enough, that there was a day in your experience, a day in all our experiences, when the word of God comes powerfully to us and we cannot resist it. It is a word of life to us, and we recognize it for what it is. And friends, the amazing thing is it not, that all these hundreds and thousands of years later, that the Lord is still graciously calling sinners to follow him. And he is doing that this evening. He is doing it here in this very gathering, this very night, at this very place. Now, if that is so, and it is, and the word of God makes very clear that he is speaking to us, the message is coming, we are asked to follow him, then we have to ask ourselves, why is it that there are some, even in this place tonight, who are not following him? Why is it that there are some here who go to church Lord's Day after Lord's Day, and you are still not committed to follow the Lord? Why is it that you are taught in your homes? Why is it that you are told by your mothers and fathers, your husbands, your wives, your parents, your neighbors, your friends, to follow the Lord, but you still have not done so? Maybe you're saying, yes, but if Christ had come to me, if I heard the voice of Christ directly saying to me, follow me, I would have been like a shot out that door, and nothing would keep me from doing that. But dear friend, did you realize that the voice you are hearing when you read the Word of God is just that, the Word of God? It is the voice of God Himself addressing you in His Word. And when preachers come with a message, they come also surely sent from God, men sent from God with this same message, follow me, follow the Lord. So why is it then that some of you here do not believe? Why is it that you are not following? Friend, the Bible is God's word to you. And this message here, it is as pertinent to you as it was to the disciples. Now, of course, they heard and they saw with their eyes, and they heard the physical, the actual voice of the Savior. But we hear it by faith. We have the Word of God. Have you ever thought, by the way? We often think, I'm sure we cannot but think in our mind's eye of Christ. And oh, when we meet Him and when we see Him. Have you ever thought of what His voice may sound like? Here for these men, they heard it, they believed it, but it was the power that was here. It was following as they were commanded without any questions. And friends, when preachers of the gospel come, and when they faithfully proclaim the word of God, those who are said in scriptures to be ambassadors for Christ, for it speaks of them as God, as though God did beseech you by us, be ye reconciled to God. No one has any right whatsoever to close their ears and not to listen to what is said and to be reconciled to God, as if it didn't matter, because it is only a preacher and he's not a very good preacher and it doesn't really matter. I'll do it some other time. You are commanded to do it. You are commanded to follow immediately. And the reality is, friend, that you will be without excuse if the word is preached faithfully in your ears. And I have no doubt whatsoever there's not a soul in this building tonight who hasn't heard the gospel preached faithfully. You've heard it from your pastors, you've heard it from your parents, husbands, wives, and so on. So here is this message, friends. This is the clear message to us all tonight. Follow me. And I would like us to look at this. It is, of course, a call to us apostleship, but we can use it surely without doing any harm to the word of God to apply to us all here this evening. It is to all to follow the Lord Jesus. And I would like to ask five questions tonight. The first one is who we are to follow, and then how we are to follow, and why we are to follow, and where we are to follow, and when we are to follow. Who, how, why, where, when. Who are we to follow? Well, it is very clear to every one of us. We are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is not asking you to follow any other man. It is not asking you to follow even great and godly men or women. You are not asked to follow them. It is about asking to follow Jesus. And while preachers come with the gospel, and you young people here particularly, I want you to listen to this. When preachers come with the gospel, when your parents speak to you, or whoever speaks to you, You have to hear it as the word of God. They are not asking you to follow them. No, of course it is good to follow good examples. And many of us are thankful for godly parents, and many of us are thankful for godly influences in our lives, men and women who can be a good example to follow. There are many of us here, and how we praise God for those who went before us, those who we saw, something in their lives, something about that was attractive about them, something that spoke about something different from the world, and we saw godliness in their lives. Maybe we didn't recognize it at one time, but when we came to recognize it, how thankful we were for the example that we saw in their lives. So in a sense, there is nothing wrong with that, and we should look to those who have given example. And may I also say, friends, to those of us who profess Christ, all the importance of living consistent lives. Christian, here tonight, the importance of giving the best example, not just to your family, but to your neighbors and all you meet. There is nothing that does damage to the cause of Christ than compromisers who have the name of Christ on their lips, but not in their hearts. So we have to be careful as Christians regarding this. But here then, we are asked to follow the Lord. Now, what makes people worth following their example, of course, is the fact that they have God in their hearts. It is having God in their lives. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who is said by Peter, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is the one that you have to follow. That is the one you are asked to follow. Nobody else but this wonderful, glorious Savior, the Christ who says, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door," and so on. And he also says, "No man cometh to the Father except by me." So there's a good reason, the best reason, surely, again, one of the reasons to follow him. In other words, there is no one else you should follow. No one else you dare follow. Why? Because there is no salvation in any other. You may think, some of you particular young people, you may think here tonight, "Well, my father's a Christian, my mother's a Christian, so I'll just follow that example and that will do fine." It will not. It will not. Do you realize that if you just follow that example, you will end up in a lost eternity? Do you realize that that's all you have here tonight? Just being here and listening to this, just because your parents want you to do so, or your husband, your wife, whoever you are, if that is all that you have, it is not enough. And do you realize that the day is coming, if that is all that you have, the day is coming on the great day of judgment, when those who love you most in this world, and you love most in this world, yes, your father and mother, they will put their amen to God casting you into a lost eternity. They will agree that God is just. How can that be? They love me so much. Yes, indeed. But on that day, friend, there are no more opportunities. It is Christ you have to follow when? Now in this world. This is the Christ that is brought before you, I pray, in the gospel that as you hear from Sabbath to Sabbath. There is no salvation in any other, none whatsoever. God sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, his only begotten Son. You're not asked to follow anyone else. You're not asked to follow a faith. You're not asked to one who cannot deliver on his promises. You are asked to follow, and it is an imperative. It is a command that is given here. You are asked to follow the Son of God. Who are you to follow? The Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, how are you to follow? Well, of course, you know this, and I don't need to go into this too much for anyone, but you need faith to follow Christ, with and by faith. And when we talk about that, we are also talking about full commitment to do what he would want you to do. He is saying to you to follow. And he is saying to you, and the Bible makes clear how we are to follow. We are to follow with all our heart, and with all our soul, and with all our mind. You see, friends, there is no place in following Christ, there is no place in the army of the Lord for half-hearted soldiers. Some of us today, we heard much about soldiers and godly leaders. You know, there is no place in any army for anyone who is not fully committed to the fight. And if you are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you are to follow him with all your heart and with all your soul. Because, friend, you are, for this is sure, you are entering into a battle. It is not an easy thing to follow the Lord. You will have many difficulties. You will have many trials. You will have many battles to fight. But you have to follow him by faith. You have to believe in him, in this Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is no place to hide when you are following the Lord. None whatsoever. And so I say this to you. You need to be utterly and totally persuaded and convinced. Don't think you can just give half of your heart. Don't think you can be a Sunday Christian. That is not enough for those who are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not enough for anyone. Why is it then? You know, the reason that many do not follow is because of what is required. And there is an unwillingness to give your all. You still want to cling on to so many things. If I become a Christian, it means I have to let this go. Dear friend, if you become a Christian, if you follow the Lord, you'll find that your desires will change. You don't have to work at letting anything go that is ungodly. Your desires will change, and then the Lord will help you as you grow in grace. But there is no place to hide in the battle. There is no place for cowards in following the Lord Jesus. Why is it then, I ask you, that some of you here who have been here in the general call of the gospel, who have been here in the call of the gospel clearly for years, and yet you are still unwilling to put your faith, to put your trust in Christ, to come, as it were, into this glorious, enlist in this glorious army? It is because very often that you don't see the beauty of Christ. You don't see the danger you are in. And even if you have some idea of it, having heard it from others around you, there is a sense where you are a coward. Because it will cost you. And you don't want to let go so many things. And that's the bottom line, friend. You might not like to hear it. You're happy enough with your half-hearted Christianity. And may I say particularly to those of you here, you young people and you teenagers and maybe older, don't be content with just an outward form. Because while you may fool your parents, and while you may fool your friends, and while you may even at times fool yourself, you cannot fool God. Because God sees your heart. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing, hid from him. And dare I say, even if you're here tonight, and you may be professing for many years, you may have made a profession of faith many years ago, don't take that for granted. Every day of our lives, we need to examine our hearts and see where we stand before God. And our prayer every day should be, Lord, even if we believe, we are saying, but Lord, if I'm deluding myself, save me today. Save me now. This right now for the opportunity. Give me that faith to follow, and to follow without question, and to be strong in following, and to show to the world around that I am following, that I love the Lord. There are so many. You know, there are many, and it may well be that there are some here this evening at this conference, and you're happy to be, as it were, on the margins, on the periphery, on the fringes of the church in this way. And everybody sees you, and you're always in church, and you would never miss a church, and you have your Bible and you read it and so on. But maybe that's all there is. Could this be true of anyone here tonight, young or old? Dear friends, this is a weighty matter. It is our souls we're talking about here. Oh, make sure, whoever you are, that you are right with God, that you are not just following, as it were, in a way that is a reluctant step, hidden maybe what your heart is like from others, but remember, not so with God. You see, if you keep following Christ in that way, following as you think, following in the way that makes you happy, following in a way not according to the word of God, but according to what pleases yourself and keeps you content, if that, friend, is the way that you are here tonight, I tell you, you're in grave danger. Because that kind of following will take you headlong into a lost eternity. And again, I say to this to every one of you, but particularly may I say it to you young people, I know what it's like. Just, we please our parents. We want to please our parents, and that is good. And we want to please our loved ones, whoever they are, husband, wife, whoever, and that is good. But it's not enough. It is not enough. You need more than that. So don't be content with that kind of following. Here we read, as we have, the Lord called some to follow, and the word of his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people and so on, and there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and so on. There followed him. Here are those who followed, but there's a following and a following. How do you follow? How do you follow? Are you following in the way that the Lord requires of you? Are you just following like the word here, the multitudes with the crowd? Ah, remember when he was coming into Jerusalem, our blessed Savior. And they were all there with their hosannas. And they were there casting all before him. Where were they at the cross? Where were they? They all forsook him and fled. Then, what about you? Are you just one of those who like to be seen, to be amongst the people of God, who like to be numbered in that way amongst them? But that's as far as it goes. I say to you again, friend, if you continue to keep following, if you like, at a distance in that way, one day you'll find it's too late. If I can put it this way, speaking of reverence, it will be too late for you, and you'll never catch up with Christ. Walk in his footsteps today. Walk in his footsteps today. Because you never know if you'll have another opportunity, even beyond this night itself. And if you do not walk in the footsteps of Christ, I tell you this, the Bible makes it very clear to each and every one that death and hell will overtake you. Death and hell will overtake everyone who is not found in Christ by faith at the last day. It's not enough just to give an assent to certain Christian truths. Now, friends, I am emphasizing and wanted to re-emphasize this because I think it is vital for us. It is not just enough to give an assent to certain Christian truths. You have to live the Christian life. You have to live according to the word of God. And I fear that there are many, and I speak not just here to you, dear friends, in this country of yours, but it is in our own country, in my own congregation, in my own church, those who may simply be nothing but, as it were, hangers-on, who have never, ever, ever closed in with Christ in the sense that they have confessed their sins and acknowledged their need and cast their all upon Him, but who are simply there hanging on, as it were, to the coattails of others. Oh, friends, that is not enough. It is not enough, because that will not take you into heaven to be with Christ. You have to walk in His steps. You have to walk according to His word. You have to walk in obedience to His word. You have to walk humbly before Him, as we've been hearing so powerfully the last few days. Humility needed in our lives in following Him. And it is about obedience, friends. And what is His first word of obedience to you tonight, to be safe in Christ? It is this: follow Me. Follow Me. Not according to the dictates of man, but according to the word of God. Now I know, and you know, there are many churches, and it's easy to become a member in the church. But I don't believe there's a church here represented where it is easy to become a member in the church. It should never be easy to become a member in the church, because many are deluded because of that. You should only be a member in any church if you're first united to Christ, having Him as your Savior. Nothing else will do, friends. Absolutely nothing else will do. How are you to follow Him then? You are to follow Christ. How are you to follow Him? You've got to follow Him with your whole heart and soul and mind by faith. You know, there's something else as well that many people say, well, I want to become a Christian, but first of all, I've got to sort out my life. I've got certain things, and this probably applies to some of you who are older here. There are certain things I need to sort out first. I've got to reform myself. But as I think we heard it recently, but it is not what is required at all. Christ came to save sinners. Come as you are, friend. Follow as you are. Come and ask for mercy, pleading for forgiveness as you are. Just follow Me. How? By grace that He will give you, if you are determined and trust in Him. And you'll come with zeal, I pray, and passion to do His will. Follow His example. We hear about those who are carnal Christians. I'm not very sure if there's such a thing. You're a Christian or you're not a Christian. I know what is meant by the term carnal Christian. Don't be a carnal Christian. Follow Him with all your heart and soul. Follow Him with humility. Follow Him willing to give your all and to serve Him whatever else comes your way. Follow Him with love in your heart. Oh, how much He loved Himself. Think of the love of our blessed Savior. After all, He gave Himself. In other words, take a step in faith with all your heart and soul and follow His example. And we can, even that, having taken a step in, that's the best example. Not your mother or father, not your husband and wife, not your parents, not your children, not your friends, but Himself. Now, here for the Jews, when they speak about following somebody, it was about becoming a disciple. It is the idea of learning, to come to learn. And that's what we all do. And we all need to learn more of what it is to be Christ-like. Isn't it true here tonight for yourself? Do you not find yourself so often feeling ashamed of how little Christian you are like Christ? How little your thoughts are Christ-like. How little your walk and conversation is like the Lord. It is a shame to us so often. We need to follow and those who are called to follow in the way that he himself would have us follow. Who we are to follow, how we are to follow. Thirdly, why we are to follow. Well, dear friends, simply because this, there is no other place of safety for any of us. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter about your upbringing. It doesn't matter that your mother and father have prayed for you even before you came into the world. These things do not matter. That will not save anyone. You see, we have to follow because there is no salvation anywhere else. There is no other place of safety for any of us. What does Scripture itself tell us? There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the reality. That's the reality. That is why it is so vital for us to follow the Lord Jesus. And friends, if there is no other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved, if that is so and it is, as God tells us in his words, then how foolish of any of us, to think that we can be saved any other way. How foolish of any of us to put off even for another day. How foolish of any of us to imagine we'll get to heaven by some miraculous back door. Isn't this what happens? Everyone hopes to be in heaven. Everyone expects to be in heaven one day. But what is that hope based on, friend? What is your own hope based on tonight? Is it some airy-fairy idea of what it is to be a Christian? I believe in Jesus. Then the devils believe. The devils believe. That's not enough for anyone. More than that is required of you and of me. God makes it very clear to us what is required of us. So we are not going to have a back door into heaven. There is no back door into heaven. I am the way. There is no other way for us. Now I am quite sure, if I went round everyone here tonight, that you would all, from the youngest to the oldest, that you would expect to be in heaven when you die. Isn't that right? Is there anyone in here who doesn't expect to be in heaven when they die? And you say, well, I'm not sure, that's a bit strong. Well, let me put it the other way. You don't expect to be in hell, do you? Well, you say, no, I don't expect to be in hell. Well, it's one or the other, friend. So you're telling me you expect to be in heaven. I ask you again, what is your basis for that belief? What do you base that on? And you will not be in heaven. It will not happen except you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If you let you believe in him according to the word of God, you dare not put your hope in any other. You dare not put your hope in any other way, any other method, any other person, but in the Christ of God, the Lord Jesus, as he is presented to you in the gospel, the one who says, follow me. This is the only way. This is why you must follow him. Because there is no other way. None whatsoever. Well, we hear plenty today about different faiths. And, well, really, we're all just going on the one way. We'll all get there eventually. Why should we worry about these things? Whether you're Muslim or Jehovah Witness or whatever. We're all really worshipping the one God. We are not. We are not. And we shouldn't be slow to say that. It may soon cost, I know, in our country. The difficulty even coming, sometimes we do open-air preaching, and the difficulty is going to be there for us, we are told, even to make that kind of statement I've just said. But the reality is, there is no other way. There is no other Savior. And friend, don't you continue to follow your existing way unless it is the right way, hoping against hope, as so many do, it'll all work out in the end for me. Is that the way you think sometimes? Well, I tell you this, as I'm sure your ministers tell you often enough, and those who love you tell you often enough, you will open, if that is the way you are following the Lord, you will open your eyes one day in a lost eternity. Hell fire will be licking around you. Why? Because you did not follow, you did not believe the word of God. And when death finds you, it will find you in a lost eternity. Oh, my dear young friends, and you don't know how much my heart rejoiced in these days being here, seeing so many families and young people. But young people, don't depend upon your parents' Christianity. They will not save you. They will not save you. Much as they'd love you, there's not a parent here or anyone else here who would love to take you all in their arms into glory. But we cannot. Nobody can. It is the Lord alone who can do this. You trusting in Him and in no one else. Why are you to follow Him? Because there is no other way. You begin to follow, and then, fourthly, where are you to follow? Well, simply wherever He leads you. Oh, but you say, but you don't know the difficulties. You have no idea, minister, the difficulties that I will have if I begin, if I give up all to follow Christ. Do you realize how difficult it will be with some of the friends I have? Or maybe to do with my work? Or maybe to do my situation at home? Dear friend, you will find difficulties. Of course you will. They will always be there for you. But remember this. If you are following the Lord faithfully, however great your difficulties, you'll never be alone in them. You'll never be alone in them. And there's not a Christian here tonight who won't testify to that. The trials and the troubles, we have a little bit of that today. They are there, but you know what? The Christian is never alone in these situations. He is there, the Lord Jesus is there with you. Where you go, go where He leads you, friend. Go where He leads you, wherever He may lead you. Where are you to follow Him? Well, let me say, certainly, there is a separation required. It is a case of out of worldliness and the ways of the vast majority of this world. And to following Christ means separation from the world. And yes, it can be difficult. And you may not, in a sense, not know what the Lord has for you. But if you are walking by faith, He will never lead you astray. You ask any Christian here tonight, has the Lord ever led them astray? Never. And He never will. He never will. You see, there is a separation required. There is a come out from amongst them and be separate. And you cannot have been part of this world and all that it has and of Christ at the same time. It cannot be done. No, I know. That far too many say, well, I'm a Christian now, I can do what I like, it doesn't matter where I go, I can live as I please because I gave my heart to Jesus. How many will be in a lost eternity who will cry, but I gave my heart to Jesus? What good friend is that going to do any? If that's the kind of faith, that is not the true faith of the Bible at all. Follow Christ wherever He leads you. Yes, it may be difficult at times, but you know what? You will not find Christ. I dare say this, and I say this from my own experience, you will not find Christ. He does not frequent the places that you used to go to. And he definitely doesn't frequent the places that I used to go to. There is a separation required. And there are places that you cannot and should not go. And there are places that you must leave behind in following the Lord. You see, it will, as I said earlier, the Lord changes your desire. So anyone who truly has come to faith in Christ will find that the Lord helps them and he leads them and you are obedient to his word. But if you are here tonight and say, I'm a Christian, but I still want to hang on to these things. I don't want to let this go, and I don't want to let that go, and I wait for a while before I let it go. Friend, you have never come to Christ. You have never followed in the way that the Bible commands you to follow. You are to follow and out of worldliness. Yes, even friends, you are to follow where, if required, even unto death. Even unto death. Maybe we are not as yet in a situation where as believers in this country and our country where we have to lay down our lives. Friends, let's not forget there are many Christians throughout the world who would be amazed even in the last week who haven't laid down their lives for Christ. There are many countries throughout the world where being a Christian means death. It has not come to us here yet, but it may not be far away. But even if it is where he leads us, let us be willing to give our all. Let us be willing to give our lives. You see, you have to go forward. Once you put your hand to the plow, the Bible says, you are not to look back. Remember Lot's wife? Oh, how the world attracted her and how she wanted back into the world. To be saved, you have to follow wherever he leads you and be a witness for him wherever he casts your lot. Some of you young people probably maybe going on to your workplaces and going on to places of further education. I don't know, maybe some of you will be. Well, if you are, you will face many difficulties. But the best way to face the difficulties is to already help with your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if you are faithful, wherever he leads you, you know, he will eventually lead you into glory with himself. That, friends, is the ultimate end for the child of God. And fifthly and finally, when are you to follow? Oh, you say, well, I want to be a Christian. I want to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometime before I die. Have you ever said that? Have you ever thought that? When are you going to die? How do you know when you're going to die? How do you know here tonight without Christ that after this service finishes and later on when you go to bed, how do you know that you're going to wake up in the morning? How do you know that you're going to be still in this world when day breaks tomorrow? You keep putting off and you say, later on, some other time. Whoever you are, friend, whoever young you are, you're not too young to die. So the great question is, when are you going to follow? Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. There is to be no delay. What do we see here? What does it show us, what we've got here? When the Lord said, follow me, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. What is showing that? Showing to us that nothing was too important. Nothing else was more important than following the Lord. And there is nothing, I tell you, there is nothing in your life tonight that is more important than to follow the Lord. Not tomorrow, not tomorrow morning, not when you go back to your own church, not when this conference finishes, but tonight, friend, is the time to make your peace with God. Remember Felix. He says to the Apostle Paul, a more convenient season, not yet a more suitable time. Is that what you're saying in your heart tonight? Is that the way you're thinking tonight? Some other time. A more suitable season, but not quite yet. Or maybe you're saying here tonight, well, I'm hearing what you're saying, but I really don't feel my need. I know little of conviction of sin, and I really don't think I'm that bad a person. So I've seen others, and they haven't become Christians until they were much older, or till something else happens. Well, friend, if that's the way you think tonight, what can I say to that? Only this, oh, pray this very minute, Lord, show me what I am. Show me my need. Show me what is my end if I die without Christ. Convict me and convince me tonight by thy Holy Spirit. When you go into your privacy, your room tonight or somewhere tonight, go on your knees. Plead with God for mercy. Ask him to forgive you your sins before he withdraws from you. You know what? It may be that there is someone here tonight, and you've had countless opportunities, and maybe God is going to withdraw spirit from you. It may be. The Lord only knows. I pray not, but it may be. Pray that the Lord will show you. Oh, you say, but I've got so many things to do. There is so much in my mind, and there is so much studying I have to do, and I have work commitments, and I have family commitments, and you just have no idea what's in mind. These things are too much for me. Too much? Don't you realize that your soul is at stake? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Friend, today, now is the time. It's a very solemn thing to say to God, ah, yes, I'm here and follow me, but I'll do it some other time. Tomorrow will do. When God is saying, today, friend, he's knocking at your door. Realize the reality is that man's tomorrows and God's todays never meet. You need to be aware of your need tonight to make your peace with God. Don't wait a moment longer. I say this to you as I conclude. Look at Peter and Andrew and countless others. They straightway left their nets and they followed him. If you think it's difficult and you don't want to do it at this time, oh, remember then, there's a day coming. Here you are tonight, maybe rejecting Christ. The day is going to come when it's going to be too late for you. And Christ will say to you, not that you haven't heard, not that you haven't been pled with, not even that the Spirit of God hasn't been striving with you. But the day is coming, you who refuse to follow now, the day is coming. If you continue in that road, and he is going to say to you, depart from me. No more follow me, but depart from me, ye cursed, into that place that's prepared for the devil and the angels. Is that what you expect to hear? Oh, you say, not at all. But dear friend, it is what you will hear. Unless you follow Christ. Let us pray. Eternal God, oh, thou knowest thine own here. Every heart is known to thee, from the youngest child to the oldest person in this room. Nothing is hid from thee. And if there be even little ones here who seek the Lord, Lord, help them to continue to seek Thee and not let Thee go until Thou would bless them. And if there be amongst us those of more mature age who have never truly sought the Lord, who may be simply hanging on to the coattails of others, that Thou would convict them even this night to cry to Thee for mercy, to beg for forgiveness, and to follow Thee truly. Lord, Thou art able to do what man cannot do. And oh, how we realize, even in a situation such as this, that Paul may plant and Apollos water, but Thou alone dost give the increase. Won't Thou then, gracious God, do that in this very place, this evening? This we ask with all else, in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.